Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Talking to NFL is the preseason, thankfully coming to an end. Here to talk about that, the other news of the National Football League week, and a lot of it, as usual, from ESPN.com. Welcome back to the show, Dan Graziano. Dan, good morning.
Has it been a newsy couple of days? I haven't. Yeah. I don't know. Is there anything going on in the NFL?
Let me just say this. We're tired of talking about Andrew Luck retiring.
All right.
How about That's we fine. Talk about this? Vinny's long been an advocate of, most people don't like preseason football, Dan.
Because nope,
it's terrible. It's a boring product, not fun to watch, but it does generate revenue and increasing schedules. Vinny wants to see more of the joint practices, but that doesn't generate money. You wrote about this morning. The owners want an expanded season. The players do not. Where does the money come from, and how are they going to figure this one out if they do?
I think ultimately it's realistic to think they might expand the playoffs. You know, add a playoff team in each conference and do an extra week. I mean, the people I've talked to that have looked at the numbers, some of them think that would be just as profitable as adding two regular season games because of the playoff games generate a lot more revenue in terms of what TV networks pay for them, who watches them, that kind of thing. And then I think the players might be on board with that because, playoffs are a reward, right? So it's not like, if you just make them play two more regular season games, then you're sort of ordering them to do more work. Whereas if they, one more team, two more teams a year or four more teams a year, whatever it is, get to make the playoffs, that's something they've sort of worked for and earned and means something more significant to them. So I still think it's far-fetched to think that they can get an expanded regular season without the owners making some kind of significant financial concession to the players. Now, I mean, there's a number, I'm sure, where the players would have to consider it. Hey, we're going to give you 55% of all revenue and go to 18 games. And the players would have to take that, their union would have to take that back to their membership and say, hey, we got to consider this. But I don't think they're anywhere close to that right now. And I think ultimately, given the conversations I've had on the player's side and on the owner's side, I think an expansion of the playoff field is a more likely outcome than an expansion of the regular season.
Hey, Dan, do you think that the coaches will get more time with their players? Will that, because the owners gave away anything to get the money last time, and they could have cared less about, practice time, meeting time, all that. Will the coaches get some of that back this next agreement, you think?
That's an issue that's been talked about generally. I think it's a down-the-line issue because they have to figure out the macro financial issues first. But there's some talk about maybe allowing more access to rookies, right? The draft picks. But I don't. Big picture, I do not think the players and their union have any appetite for giving back the gains they made in terms of off-season workout restrictions the last time. I mean, fundamentally, those restrictions are in place to benefit the players' health and well-being, and they really kind of don't trust the teams, to not abuse it if they just sort of let it go back to the way it was. So that was their big win 8 years ago, 9 years ago, and I don't see them giving back on that in any significant way.
You know what's funny about that, Dan, saying about that is when I was in San Fran, our offensive lineman never wanted to come around the building in the offseason, lift. Because Bob McKittrick would grab him and take him out on the field for a couple hours. Right. That's why none of them would come around.
Yeah, and that's the problem, right? So there will be the rules are strict. I mean, you've seen teams get banged for it. I mean, you guys, in Baltimore,
seen, they get banged every year,
right? So they and the reason is that they don't want to. They don't. The players in the union don't feel like they can leave the teams to their own devices on this. So yeah, I would be surprised if there were significant rollbacks of those changes.
You know what's funny, too, Dan, is, I mean, every team has basically come out and said, my starters aren't playing. Like Harbs came out and said, the starters aren't playing, plus key special teams players aren't playing. So, I mean, everybody, other than maybe 52 and 53rd spot on the roster, or maybe there's one spot on the roster, that they're, otherwise, this game is the biggest waste of time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're preaching to the choir, man. I mean, I can't stand them, and I count the days. You know, Friday morning is like my favorite time because now the preseason's over and we can start to look at the real games. But, you know, things evolve, and you know, if there's an old school idea of like, you know, players need these games to get ready, and then the back of the roster guys need these games to show out and make their case, that all may be true, but it's as teams run the numbers and there's more and more data every year, you know, more and more teams are making the decision that the injury risk is too significant and that they're going to be fine evaluating in practices, in joint practices, et cetera. So, yeah, I think it's moving that direction. And I think as a result, the preseason games are getting worse and worse. And there's even more appetite for eliminating them.
Dan Graziano, ESPN, ESPN.com, joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Ravens taking on the Redskins. Game doesn't matter, but the Redskins have an issue with Trent Williams. What's the resolution going to be here, Dan?
I don't see a path to a resolution with Trent Williams in Washington right now. It seems like they're probably going to end up having to trade him. I just don't know. I mean, how do you value him? My understanding from teams that have checked in is that, you know, Washington's response is it's got to start with a first rounder if we're even going to have a discussion. So at this point, I think they're hopeful they can bring him back. But, you know, this has been a very murky situation from the start. Trent himself has not said anything. So my understanding is that the issues go beyond money, and there are things to be worked out that are different from a normal holdout. And at this point, I'd be surprised if they did get worked out. I think they're going to end up having to move him.
Dan, you know what's been kind of a cool story, I think, is up where you're at, Daniel Jones. I mean, because he got crucified by the media when they drafted him, the fan base. And now, you know, he's looked good, and Shermer's smiling, and Gettleman's probably laughing his butt off.
Oh, yeah, Giants are in full-on I-told-you-so mode on this. But look, it's preseason. Look, I think the key thing to understand, you know, those of us who criticize the pick, we're not criticizing Daniel Jones, the player. I'm not qualified to evaluate, you know, a quarterback pre-draft. That's not my area. My point was, last year was the quarterback draft. They took a running back number two. This year was the pass rusher draft, and with Josh Allen sitting there, they took Daniel Jones, who they might have been able to get later on. It's not about, for me, it's not about how he's going to play. It's about how you use your picks, how you value those assets, and whether you're getting the most out of them. And I don't think that Dave Gettleman is. Now, if Saquon Barkley and Daniel Jones turn into Hall of Famers, then he got them right. I just think history has shown us that that trying to predict how players are going to play is not the most efficient way to draft. So I don't think the criticism was aimed at Daniel Jones. I mean, he didn't force them to pick him number six. And I think it is neat to see him playing well. I think he's thrown the ball extremely well. He's had some fumble issues that have to be worked out. And he's a young player that if they were going to throw him out there to start the season, growing pains would be expected. But it doesn't sound like they are going to throw him out there to start the season. And I think they feel like the more developmental time he has, the better. So things are going according to their plan with Daniel Jones so far.
Hey, Dan, because baseball is all analytics, how many NFL teams have analytical departments now and are relying on analytics?
I think they all do to some extent. It's just a matter of how they implement them, right? So the Eagles got a lot of attention a couple years ago because of how direct the connection was to the head coach and the play caller between, you know, this is situation to go for two, this is a situation to go for it on fourth down, et cetera, et cetera. So I think there are teams that are doing it more than they let on. I think there are teams that are happier to talk about it than others are. But I would be very surprised if any of the 32 teams didn't have some sort of analytics department breaking it down for it. That would seem, at this point, I think that's pretty widely accepted as something that would put you at a significant disadvantage.
What's the biggest story that you're looking at for week one?
In week one? Well, let's see. Well, I mean, personally, the game I'm covering for ESPN week one is Rams-Panthers. So I'm looking at Cam Newton. Is he going to be ready? That's just the game I'm focused on. But
now, are you expecting a big year from DJ Moore, Maryland kid? You know, you know, I thought he was the best receiver in the draft last year.
They're very happy with DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel as young receivers. They think are going to take big steps forward there this year. So they're the people who break down schedules will tell you that the passing game matchups for Carolina this year look very favorable on paper. Obviously, that shakes out differently than preseason predictions often have, but it looks like the schedule's favored. So the key is the quarterback. Is the quarterback healthy? Is his shoulder healthy? Yes, it looks good, but now he hurts his foot. So if there's issues with the quarterback, then that obviously affects it's the most obvious thing that's ever been said. That obviously affects the passing game and all the receivers. So we'll see. But, yeah, they're very, very pleased in Carolina with the progress. DJ Moore, who came on strong in the second half last year, and then, of course, Curtis Samuel, a speedier guy that they think can stretch the field for him. So very excited about their young receivers in Carolina. And last year's first-round pick is, you know, of course, right at the head of that.
Dan Graziano, ESPN, ESPN.com. Dan, we appreciate your time as always. We'll talk to you once the season gets underway, which is what,
okay,
next
guys.
Thursday. Thanks, man.
All right, enjoy week one, Dan. Thanks.
Take care.
Yep.
Dan Graziano, ESPN, ESPN.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.